Let us cultivate the altruistic motivation, seeking complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite, kind, mother sentient beings. With that kind of what we call bodhicitta motivation, that we should all participate in this teaching. We all need to listen to spiritual teaching. We all need to develop knowledge or understanding of spirituality, and we all need to do a meditational practice. In other words, what I'm trying to say here is that the purpose of listening to spiritual teaching, or what we call Dharma teaching, is to be able to develop knowledge or understanding of the teaching. So the study or listening to teaching enables us to understand what Dharma is. Now, once we have developed that knowledge and understanding of the Dharma, the purpose of that, developing the knowledge, is to be able to cultivate spiritual qualities within our mind through meditational practice. So the purpose of understanding Dharma is to be able to do meditation. So right in the beginning, as we listen to teaching or we do our practice, the first thing that we really must pay attention to, which is of utmost importance, if you will, is to cultivate proper motivation. But if our motivation to listen to teaching or engage in practice is to do with what we call worldly concerns and worldly attitudes and interests, then what we really listen to or what we practice may not constitute a Dharma or spirituality.
So that category is na sinji thamji rangli jimbi sinji thamji rang drayin chi ni rang kadi chi mai san da de zu zam na dungi dungi ta tegu yore dawat dingu yore ding arang chi thub chune san ta ti che to ti shebala dan de nipa ya mare je za sinji thamji dawat dem daksha dungi ji dungi da dungi jo de ji ba tawl daksha
So Of course, there are different types of spiritual motivation, if you will, that we could cultivate. And we emphasize what is called bodhicitta motivation or the altruistic motivation, Chengzhu the same Kuilong in Tibetan. So what is really, this is the highest level of motivation that anybody could cultivate. And to be able to cultivate altruistic motivation, we really need to understand that we cannot be biased towards any sentient beings. You know, because altruistic motivation embraces everybody equally, including our enemies. So there are no enemies to be excluded, okay, or to be treated differently, because altruism embraces every sentient being. So basically, as we cultivate altruistic motivation, what we are saying is that I see that every sentient being wants to be free of suffering, okay? And I see that every sentient being wants true peace and happiness. So we are all same in those respects. We don't want any suffering. We want, you know, a lasting peace and happiness. And now as we recognize those, if you will, universal aspirations that we as sentient beings have, now what we say that, you know, I would like to take the responsibility upon myself to help sentient beings be free of suffering and to find lasting happiness. Okay. Now we have to be honest to ourselves, right? Okay, that's what I want to do, but where am I right now? I really don't have the abilities to do that. Yeah, it's very wonderful. I want sentient beings to be happy. I want sentient beings to be free from suffering, and I want to help. But realistically speaking, you know, and we do the checklist of ourselves, like, okay, I don't really have the abilities to do that. So now that's why I really need to become an enlightened being. First, I really need to improve myself. You know, I have to make myself a better human being or better whatever, you know, have to uplift myself and make myself spiritually enriched, and my capabilities need to be enhanced so that I will be able to do exactly what I want to do for sentient beings. So this is why, with that mindset, we are trying to accomplish enlightenment, right? So we seek complete enlightenment as a means to fulfill an end, that is to benefit all sentient beings, to help them to be free from suffering, to help them to find lasting peace and happiness. Yeah, so that's how we cultivate bodhicitta or altruistic motivation.
Chö karin na tib dhubne, ane hua tenya ta, singi ten hua ma to, rang kibo da jawa yun ha, chö moji ya maris.
So as, you know, followers of Bodhisattva's way of life, or as practitioners of what we call Mahayana Buddhism, our motivation has to be altruistic, that we should be thinking about every sentient being's happiness. Okay, that is our business, if you will. Kishala didn't say that. Okay. And so we want everybody to be happy, we want everybody to be free of suffering, and that we make that our concern. You know, we really care about sentient beings. So not only is, you know, should we be cultivating altruistic motivation, we call bodhicitta motivation, but once we engage in the positive actions or do our practice, we must also dedicate our positive energies altruistically. Right? In other words, that whatever positive energies or merits I've accumulated, I'm going to dedicate them, you know, for the benefit of all sentient beings. May I become Buddha for the benefit of all sentient beings. So that's how, you know, Mahayana practitioners conduct their, you know, everyday life, if you will, or engage in teaching and practice.
Yende dhruva yina rang tuyende hulun dhugayaris. Shambhi sambhati dhugayani yende tsoon dhigayarita yina rang tuyende yavatoni yende yende tuyende tsoon dhigayarita yina te rang tuyende yende yende yavajun dhruva yina rang tuyende ti nyamdil tan dhugayaris.
So when we have a kind of a close-up look at bodhicitta, this motivation, so what it really is, it embraces every sentient beings, you know, on an equal footing, right? There's nobody to be excluded, nobody to be treated differently, okay? And nobody to be really upset about, you know, for sure. And so, you know, we basically dedicate ourselves mentally and spiritually and whatever, physically, for the benefit of sentient beings. Now, we might have some kind of doubt in mind, like, if I do that, then what about me? You know, what happens to me? You know, I have needs and interests, and so do I get left out somewhere because I'm doing everything for others? Well, that is the, you know, the, how should I say, the power of bodhicitta. When you really, you know, truly care about others, other sentient beings, dedicate yourself for their betterment, and when you are able to make them happy and succeed in that, your own interests are taken care of, you know, by the way. You see, kind of a side effect, if you will. Okay? And so that's what the bodhisattvas do. They give more importance to other sentient beings. They are dedicated more for the betterment of others. And by dedicating themselves to others, they're also able to take really good care of themselves. Okay, so it's not like, you know, I'm left out somewhere behind everybody and, you know, everybody is moving ahead of, you know, me. Because when we really truly care about others, our own interests are taken care of indirectly, if you will.
So we don't need to,
in some sense, the doubt about the benefits of dedicating ourselves altruistically, you know, for others. Okay? Just look at the difference between our historical teacher, Shakyamuni Buddha, who he is now, and where is he now, spiritually, and where are we now? Okay? What really Buddha did was, at a certain point of time, he completely, you know, how to say, revolutionized himself internally. He said, okay, now I'm going to, you know, altruistically pursue enlightenment for the benefit of sentient beings. And he took that direction, and he became a complete enlightened being, see? Whereas we are the master of selfish interest, okay? So we are self-centered, selfish, you know, and we have grounded ourselves. That is the center of our universe and life. So where are we now? You know, we said we want to take care of ourselves, you know, the best. And we are still stuck in samsara and in the suffering situations, whereas Buddha dedicated himself for the benefit of others, and he's out of this whole quagmire of suffering and all the messy things we have to deal with. Okay? So just simply looking at the difference, you know, but taking care of others, Buddha, you know, found the highest level of happiness for himself and got the highest level abilities to help others. But dedicating ourselves to our own selfish interests, I, and nobody in the world, I am the one, okay? I am the world. With that kind of attitude and being a master of the selfishness, we got stuck, okay? So we, you know, are in a really problematic and very difficult situation. So these are the things that we all must really reflect upon in our everyday life. It's not like, you know, we think about it once and then kind of, how should I say, shelf them, as we would say in our academic world, you know, put it somewhere. No, we really need to reflect on these matters and these things in our everyday life. So those of you who have, you know, been in Dharma for a long time, if I may call you a long-time student, you may have heard this like 100 or 1,000 times. Well, but do not get tricked, you know, trick yourself like, oh no, I have heard this a million times, you know. But really important is, you know, have I absorbed this? And am I really reflecting on that? Okay. And of course, for the benefit of the new people, I always try to take time to talk about these things, and this problem may become a new information, if you will, to them. But the point I'm trying to make is, all of us, everybody, doesn't matter, we are new student or we are, you know, I should say, long-term students or whatever the case may be, we all need to understand these things and reflect on these things in our everyday life.
Yes. That cousin got tinsen ma dan di ni ma dus ni dus ke be ni ani kira ko ko de bo ta so so ni khar so ta myan le sia le ke che bo du so sa ne ta tinsen ni ma pi tu is.
And now I'm going to go back to where we left off in this wonderful text called A Miscellaneous Collection of Kadamba Geshe's Personal Advices. And I mean, relatively speaking, these are kind of easy to understand because they presented many of them in the form of Q's and A's or question and answers or in conversations. But nonetheless, they contain profound lessons and teachings for us. Remember, we were revisiting what one of the great Kadamba Geshe's by the name of Geshe Nyurumba said. And one of the things he said is we really need to look at our deluded states of mind, we call kleshiya or nyurma in Tibetan, as very, as poisonous, you know, and metaphorically speaking, like the most poisonous snake, you know, that we are really scared of. Our delusions inside us are as, you know, well, actually more dangerous, to be seen as a very dreadful snake that can hurt us.
The song said that. Churanzu pen do se san tang de san san tang gu ris den de ge ne du du da du du yong ke ge du zha ani churanzu ani nyan de hlin ki de ani segen ki de zu service.
So now we all need to reflect on this. Okay, do I really want to spend even one more second with a very dreadful snake, very poisonous, that's going to hurt me, you know? Do I really want to hang out with a snake?
1 minute, okay. That is service. Right. Ta ranjir yobin de chai khedan temu tinzu ta du dokin an chadi yoris.
But then if we look inside our mind, we all have what is called three poisonous delusions. We got ignorance, maripa, we got attachment or lust called dosha, we got anger or hatred called shaitan. But these are real poisonous snakes, you know, and these are within us.
No, churansu shaitan is the jacket of the Musan Tonjama. Susur Ranjuli Yepe, the Kataka, the Musumbo T, do to Kin and Chagu, Sonsan, that they do Tad and Yandisho Degar of us.
So as we consider these issues, we must not, you know, kind of think like, okay, there are things called three poisonous delusions, kind of abstract notion in out there. Yeah? So there's something called ignorance, there's something called attachment, there's something called anger or hatred. Okay, they're really bad. Okay. No, we have to look inwardly, just turn our mind inside ourselves, look at, I have these three things inside me. And these three poisonous delusions I have are the real troublemaker.
Ta dudling yun na se gyur te yina susul ranju yepi nyomu to sun tele ani leki tu ta na nyandi shu dek do was.
So we seem to be very scared of a dreadful snake, you know, that has, you know, tremendous poison that you know it can send into our system. And we do not want to spend or hang out with such a snake, even for a second or a minute. But the thing is that we hang out with our delusions all the time, which are more scary in a sense, you know, our ignorance, attachment, and anger. And we seem to don't mind hanging out with them all the time. Well, I'm here, the example of a dreadful snake is used to kind of convey us the, the seriousness of the three delusions we have. But even this example does not seem to communicate, you know, everything here. Because a snake, a dreadful snake, what can it do most? Well, it'll bite me and it'll kill me.
Okay? One life.
So that's the end of the story. This life comes to an end, so it can only harm me in one lifetime. Well, it'll kill me. But the poisonous delusions that we have been hanging out with all this time, they have been so detrimental to us, not only in one lifetime, but over many lifetimes, you know. They really send us down the tubes, you know, over many lifetimes, but we don't realize it. So if you are wondering, you know, how long we have been in samsara or cyclical existence, going round and round and round and round in samsara, and never seem to find a way to get out, it's basically because of those poisonous delusions inside us. Nobody is really keeping us inside here or through us here, in samsara. But it's our own delusions, you know, which have precipitated our rebirths in samsara, and lock us in a samsara.
That tarik to come thing around to Yahoo Chires, Rangili to Yamoto to do it in the that to do it, Janju Tonju, the Nyakache, Rangi Yamoto Sunday, do it to Pam Mabata, to the Katriagata, Zoya that Sindhilzo to the Shagris.
But the reason I'm talking about these things is not, in a sense, kind of disappoint or depress ourselves, you know, and put ourselves into, you know, depression. But the point is that we have this wonderful life and opportunities that we can do something about our delusions. You know, we have this, you know, amazing life and opportunities now that if we utilize them really well, we can remove or get rid of the delusions from within our mind. Okay, so we do not have to hang out with the snakes of the delusions anymore. You know, we can just kind of, you know, separate ourselves from them.
She to do in a making a question for you or was that now you have to do it wrong members of Grumma to him making your minds.
In the case of real snakes, however dreadful they are, if I cannot do anything because I am like a chicken, well, I can call somebody else to help me, right? Who do I call? I think Pet Control or something, right? I don't know who we call, but anyway. So they'll come and they'll deal with the snakes and they can get rid of them. So that's something people can do for us in the case of, you know, the animal snakes, you know. But in the case of the delusions, that the snakes of delusions we have inside us, nobody can do anything with them. Just I can do it myself. I have to get rid of them myself. So all these things we talk about, you know, the importance of Dharma, spirituality, study, listening to teaching, practice Dharma, the reason why we kind of nail this thing down in our kind of system is because if we cultivate Dharma, that's the only way we can get rid of delusions from our mind. So everything we do, you know, you drive, you know, a long way to come here for the teaching Sunday. You make yourself time, right? And add to that the gas prices and everything else we have to deal with. And so we have to make everything meaningful, you know. You put so many mileage on your cars, you know. You put expensive gas into your car to come here. And the whole purpose of doing all these things, you know, most of us, is we should see that our participation in the teaching really becomes an antidote to counteract our own delusions. You know, don't go on some kind of other trip, you know. Just make sure that everything we come here, all the mileages we put on the car, all the gas we use, and all the things we do come a long way, so that it really truly become meaningful, that I'm able to, you know, counteract my delusions inside my mind. So every day we try to boost up our energy to be able to do that. That's the whole purpose of driving here and listening to teaching and cultivating Dharma.
다때 제점 란줄이 옆에 녀모 독숨보테 도줄이 두바 도줄이 장주 동주 그 두비 도줄이 들에 나와서 다 거시
So even when we say that delusions inside us are, you know, similar to the poisonous snakes, that doesn't really convey it. As a matter of fact, you know, it is like 100,000 times more, dangerous than ordinary snakes that we might encounter. So the next thing Geshe Nyungrungpa tells us that we have to recognize negative karmic actions, digbe le, or the bad karmas, are really like this dreadful poison.
Ta kare is na tangi nyemo tu sumbuti kuni lani te digbe le sagyores.
But we really need to understand the connection between negative karmas or the bad karmas that we create and the delusions inside us. As a matter of fact, the delusions are the motivators or the instigators, you know. They are the ones who really make us do negative actions.
So that nyamo tosumbuti ane dikpe lesa ta lesa wa tegi leti indrebe namita ta tunangita ta
So if you kind of look, talk about a little process in how we find ourselves creating negative karmas is, any of the delusions in our mind can pop up or it can motivate us to do something negative. So now we do the negative action. Okay? So once we do the negative action, these negative actions can produce negative results or outcomes we call suffering. Okay. So in that sense, the negative actions are really like the real poison, you know, that has gone into our system. Because when they produce this, the result, it's not going to be pleasant, you know, it's going to be really a lot of pain and suffering.
That big way lay, said it, and yenda ki santong jamar, yanti rank stuck way lay, when a senji yin saw a kebala sabata, and the senji yin never shabata, and the senji yin at that. Ani karigina ta sosi mbegis madi eki sebet. Anti tsendu na kyagwe. Tsendu sebe ti ndebe so chedro was. Ti nangi ki mege le saba ina ani ranga tabe so de kyagwe res.
So again, I want to bring attention to oneself, one's own negativities. We are not really talking about negative karmas in some kind of a universal it's got a cyberspace, you know, out there, so they're really bad, you know, as if I'm fine here. No, these are what we, each of us, individually do. And so once I do negative karmas, they really bring affect my life negatively. You know, it's like we take a poison. When the poison goes into the system, then it does what it does, you know. It affects our health, it can kill us, you know. So when we do negative things and they produce their results, then we are the ones who go through all the suffering situations. So just like poison can end this life, negative karmas really they can block, if not end, our spiritual life. Yeah. So this is what we really need to understand. So negative karmas means we have to look at ourselves. Okay, what kind of karmas have I, you know, engaged in? Did I kill someone? Okay, or any being? Okay. Or have I hurt anybody, any sentient beings, in many different ways? What kind of negative karmas have I done? So these are the ones where really I need to purify myself of.
Dipel, that's not dipel leti, and then those sendu na ishe dipel dipel leti something. Sendu the rang kaba ni chimi na ti ta tele ti ane karse uta drebus na mendo re ti drebus the dunghe nyongu yare so chigu yare ti na yige. So sabi diba megi leti. That's late namite tar ran yong go tong yong go re ta na yik shiva shama ta kar in so yin so che be in shiva shama se tung la so ba ani ya la so ba ten yong go re che sa ten sam tong go re
So the point I want to emphasize here is just like if we take poison into our system, that our own life is affected, not somebody else's life. because the poison didn't get into his or her system, it got into mine. Okay? So in the same way, if I do negative karmas, you know, these negative karmas will bring the negative results to myself. You know, I don't have to worry about others' negativities because those they need to deal with. Okay? They don't come to me. But what I do, I'm responsible, and so I have to understand that. So in the case of, let's say, killing, if we kill any sentient being, depending upon other factors as well, that one of the things we might, it's what we call ripening result. Because each negative karma or positive karma, for that matter, it brings many results, types of, okay? So in the case of killing, its main result, we call ripening result, is that it can precipitate rebirth in any of the bad migrations in his next life. That's already too bad a story, okay? So then, even if we, for some reason, due to some other good karmas, we have a good life, but again, the negative karma can affect us in the sense that we have a very short life. We have a very kind of a troubled life. We have a very unhealthy life, see? So the negative karma can affect us in many different ways.
So that, when a Sendula Zundi in Bangwashing it is over that Zaniko, Patunju Pagan, who two yellow Kalikabur was, then Nagin Razo, Pena, he dig a nine days, he has on a debalance session. Debut the Sendu Nagishin, the poor took them, Zani, Mandu, Tubaki in a Kowan and Mandra, the top Takisha Gurbas. Then Nagishin, they pay late Chujuki in a Zani, Masai's and Kagurus.
So now, going back to the example of a poison, if we know something about poison, right, there's all kinds of poison we don't know, so then we could hurt ourselves. But if we know something about a poison, so we don't simply say, okay, now I know about it. You know, but we are going to be very careful not to touch a poison or even take a teeny-beeny bit of a poison because we know that's going to affect us, right? So if we don't simply stay at the intellectual level, yeah, I know about this poison, okay? Well, I don't care, and I'm going to touch it, I'm going to take some, for whatever reason. But that's a really silly thing to do. We don't do that. So in the same way, as we do the Dharma education or listen to the teaching, we know something about, though limited, it's okay. We know the difference between what is good karma, what is bad karma, okay? And some types of good karmas and bad karmas, then we don't just stop there. We say we have the intellectual understanding. Yeah, I got, but then we really try to say, okay, these are the good karma, so I'll make some efforts to do the good karma, and I'll try not to do the bad karma. Even if it's a very, seems to be insignificant bad karma, even the insignificant one can produce, bad result. Yeah? So we develop the knowledge through listening to teacher education system, but then we have to use the knowledge, right? Just as we just don't learn about the poison and then don't use the knowledge, but in the same way, we learn about Dharma, not for the sake of learning, but for the sake of, improving our life and, not engaging in bad things. And the next Kishin Nyungrubo tells us that we really need to recognize and understand that our attachment to the sensual objects, is really very, again, is detrimental. An example that's been given, it's just like, the fire with ash mixed, on the top of the thing looks like ashy and we don't see the fire, but underneath it, the real fire embers are buried underneath. So it's like that. So we do talk about what we call five sensual objects that we always kind of run after, right? It's all about the forms or the visible forms usually, and sound, smell, taste, and touch. And so, being attached to these things, that's the point we are trying to emphasize, okay? Not so much the objects themselves, you know, they may not necessarily be bad, but being attached to these sensual objects and seeking the pleasures, because what we think is, oh, I want to make myself happy, so I kind of chase them, these sensual objects, out of attachment. But then we do find some kind of pleasures, but then we think, oh, this is the happiness, you know. But it's a very temporary. If it's a happiness, it's still a temporary happiness, okay? It's not the real happiness that we are seeking, yeah? So we really need to understand that being attached to such temporary happiness or pleasures is a problem.
It is a zuta, drata, drita, rota, rija. That is the same as the dhusini. And that...
So the point that Geshe Nyurum was trying to make here is that, you know, if when we are attached to the five sensual objects, form, sound, smell, taste, and touch, okay? And we think that, okay, being attached to them is good, and then I got to get some kind of pleasure in chasing them. It is very detrimental to us. It's just like, you know, fire embers buried under, you know, some, you know, beautiful things. Maybe we planted some nice, you know, trees above, right? But if it's kind of a fall into this, then you know once you touch that fire embers, that's only going to hurt you. Right, so just like that, I mean, it's just like being attached to the sensual object, chasing them, is playing with the fire. Feels kind of good temporarily, you know. But once we really get sucked by it, it really hurts.
Oh, no, that, the way you intend to do that, and the memory should have his shepherds. That, what is it? That thing about the Kali Kabur was, Zongres, Penandi, Korea. That's Zulu Chavi Chava, the Dali Chavi Chava, the New York was. Then Zulu and it does in the Chan this heavy in a Rang Ranjil Dutch Hapo Shame of Kanji. The Chari, then the Chari and it called call a damn king at that King Tan Nai Chagi.
I mean, it's possible that, you know, we are more attached to one of the central objects or two of them or all of the above. Maybe the answer is all of the above in my case, actually. But that's the translator case. But it could be that maybe somebody is more attached to the sound, okay? And in my food, it's the music, it's a sound. Okay? Or somebody's more attached to the forms, yeah? Or whatever the case may be, the touch. And so when we are attached to it, remember I said attachment is one of the three poisonous delusions. It is a troublemaker, okay? So attachments bind us, you know, to samsara. Okay, if I think about what are the binding factors, why am I really, you know, stuck in samsara? Why can't I, you know, kind of be free and, you know, have my freedoms and all the rights we talk about? It's because attachment binds us to samsara.
Then
Geshe Nyurupa tells us that we should learn that fame and reputation or the good name is all as empty as echoes that we can, you know, hear. Yeah, that's very important. When others are really maybe be kind or whatever, there's some hidden agenda, I don't know, but they're talking very nice about me or I, okay, should not get really sucked into that and then like, oh, I'm really great. Okay, and I'm really this one, and then just all this just arrogance and the pride all pop up like anything. You know, we just kind of blow the balloon of our own arrogance, and now we are like up there, okay? Because everybody said you are the great, and we think I'm the great. But we really need to understand that it's just an empty echo. Yeah, maybe others are being kind, or whatever the reason may be. If they talk nice about us, if we become famous, if we have become very well known, or we become whatever, you know, that the whole the world seems to know me, it doesn't matter. Don't get attached to, must attach importance to the echoes. I'm not saying that, okay, do not ever become famous person or well-known person. I'm not saying that. You know, that might happen, right? What I'm saying is, don't attach too much importance to that. You know, if you ever become a very famous and well-known and celebrity or whatever other things we say, you know, that's fine. But don't, you know, get, you know, ego trip in it. You know, don't be egomaniac about the whole thing. It's really very useful to learn to consider what others talk about me, good and bad, as like an echo. You know, echo is an echo. There's no substance to it. Okay? If we kind of get carried away by what other people are saying, if others are kind and say nice things about us, right, then we're like, oh, I'm this, you know, all this, excited, overly, couldn't control ourselves. And then there are others who will say, like, hey, you are da, 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 right? You are that, you know, terrible, meanic, you know, whatever, mean, you know, every kind of thing. Then, like, now it's the crying session starts, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, everybody thinks I'm that evil, you know. Why? Because we attach so much importance to the echoes, you know, there is no substance, you know. So in that way, we become more grounded and stable. If others kindly talk about us, that's fine. Maybe acknowledge it. Don't be egomaniac. If others are going to say something bad about us, don't get upset and, you know, throw the tantrum and, you know, just, you know, disturb the whole world. Don't do that either.
So
what we're saying is, from my point of view, if let's say other people are going to talk about me, good and bad, right? Maybe they mean it honestly, right? They really think you're great and whatever. But from my side, the way I approach it, I relate to that is, it's just an echo. Okay, maybe appreciate their kindness. That's about it. If they're going to talk mean things about me, it's still an echo, you know. So don't get affected by it. Yeah, but this may seem like a simple notion in some sense, but it really is a very important thing, you know. It's just like, if we kind of get carried away by what others say about us, good and bad, then you know what the problem is? We get attached to those who say good things about us, and we hate, and we just don't, you know, we're just kind of nauseated by people who say bad things about us, you see. So then hatred and anger comes up. You know, we don't want to go through that route. You know, we don't want to be attached to this and, you know, hate those others. We just want to be ourselves, okay? If others are kind, nice, respect, appreciate it, you know, but don't go into ego trip. If others are mean and, you know, say bad things, it's okay. Don't, you know, hate them and, you know, disturb yourself and disturb the whole world.
Yes. All right. Pay the taxes in sense,
So how do you understand this example called echo, right? You just, you know, shouting, you hit. How do you understand echo? What does it really mean to you?
Yeah.
The meaning
of the sound. I did ask for
tradition. Right. So I mean, usually people really don't, we don't get attached to echoes, do we? It's just like if somehow whatever element is producing echoes, you know, if let's assume that for some strange mysterious reason we hear the echoes, these echoes are talking nice about us, or echoes are really bad mouthing us or whatever, right? We are not really going to attach any importance to them. So that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. 다현 지 손드럽드네 다 된대기 전다 여기는 녀면 봐서 매베 토하네 내시게도 여러스다티
But I also want to make sure that we don't mean that, we are at a meeting or a discussion, whatever thing. You know, we really need to sort of think about critically what other people are saying and react to them or have to say our differences, but in a very rational and understanding way. But that's a different matter. I'm not saying like, you know, just be quiet at a meeting or discussion. You know, if others are saying something, okay, it's all echoes. I'm not going to say anything. Because you are at a meeting, you are in a discussion, right? You are supposed to react or whatever you need to do, you need to do. But do in a very civilized and, you know, the way, not, you know, out of attachment and anger and hatred.
Rang me ma se para se se and bata. Rang ko ma ma ku ku se and ne na tin zul ta ki ta kya na ngi sam ne ya ka ya ma ko ti ra ki le ka te le ngi bata me ma se bata ku ma ma ku tin zul jun si de ngi bata ke gu khres.
So if someone falsely accuses us of like, you know, or you killed so-and-so, or you stole so-and-so that we have never done, of course we have every right and we should clear up our names. Like, you know what do you mean? I've never done that. Whatever necessary actions need to be taken, or we have to do that. Okay, I don't mean like, oh yeah, I'm a practitioner, so somebody said I'm a terrorist. Okay, that's fine. You know, I'm going to say it. No. You know, if this is something really we need to take whatever necessary actions. We need to talk to the person. We need to do legal action. Whatever. Kishal didn't say that. But you know that the point I'm trying to make is that we need to take actions.
Okay?
So again, I want to make sure that you understand the thing I said about the five sensual objects. It is the attachment to them which is a problem. I don't mean the five sensual objects are themselves troublemakers, you know. They are not. Okay? Form, sound, smell, touch, you know, taste. You know, these are just, you know, neutral things. Being attached to them is what the problem is.
Okay. Nyebatan kute las jaham poljinde hishe prashas ta rale nyebatan kute ni ane nyebatan kute ni betle shomba yina ane ta polen gzon de betle te nyebatan kute ni yang chaba she ji amares rale nyebatan kute shona ga mgana te te ngitin chuji chang gorba ngitin chuji no yorba ta nyena ga menina du kute shona ga kute mujina ga tenzu
And the next question number says, you know, how to kind of approach or deal with, people make gifts, you know, to you or reward us or whatever case may be. Okay. Again, there's nothing wrong getting a gift or, you know, receiving a reward. But again, do not get attached to gifts and rewards. Okay? And so we have to really think it's just like, and we appreciate the gift, but in a sense, it's a debt. You know, we owe them something. Okay? So if you really get attached to, like, those who give us gifts, then probably we don't like those who don't give us gifts. Okay? So now we are caught up in the 8 worldly concerns, right? Being attached to those who talk nicely about me and hate those who are talking bad thing about me, and being really attached to those who, you know, treat me and give me gifts and, you know, don't like those, you know, who don't do that. So we are really caught up in this, you know, like worldly attitudes and concerns, and that's not a good thing. The way we should really carry ourselves is it does not matter. Okay, if people make gift to me, I appreciate it. If don't, that's fine too. Okay. Those who don't make a gift, they're not a bad people. Okay? Or those who make a gift, they're not necessarily good people either. Right? So we really have to see that how our delusions might kick in, you know, as we deal with those things. Yeah, that's the point we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. tā shūna mājūna karīna, tā shūna vai gāma mēpa tā, mājūna tērk tī tēntu cēni, dūba tātini jīk, tī nīk cēntu nīsūndu vā, jāma sēdī cēni, mēpa tā kūtī tī, anī, pēkē, sēngīn sūnsā kī,
nīkī
hīr vā tē,
tī
nāng hīr es.
And he, they say here, I mean, the, you know, the gifts and rewards, maybe we should see them as like a trap. You know, we can put a trap to catch animals, you know. These are in a sense that. And so as practitioners, our attitude should be, okay, if people make gift, I appreciate the kindness. If not, it's okay. We are not going to keep track of a checklist, you know, who has been giving me things or who have not given me anything. Okay, and then you know, bug them. You know, for reasons like, you know, Kishla didn't say this is like on my birthday, you didn't give me the gift. Here's the checklist. Okay, you are not going to get anything from me next time. That's just my translated example. I mean, we don't do those things as practitioners. You say, okay, it doesn't matter. Okay, people make gifts to you or don't make gifts to you. Because our job is, as it is really presented and emphasized in the Lamrim teachings, the teaching on the stages of Path Enlightenment, that our job is to crack down on, that's the word, you know, we should be using today, to crack down on the 8 worldly concerns, okay? So don't, you know, go into like attached to the you know, pleasant, you know, sweet speakers and pleasant and the gift givers and all that, and then hate those, you know, who are the bad mouthers, and that's my new English word, you know, not gift givers, you know, I label them. No, don't do that, because what we did is develop sense of equanimity, you know, respect everybody equally and treat everybody equally.
This is Laura Nazarbada. Nyeta Manishit. Nyeba Shuna Ga, Nyeba Majuna Du.
No.
Devo Shuna Ga. Dungi Shuna Tat, Deva Shuna Du. Ane nyebe tangwa nyenda shuna ga.
No.
Nyenda majuna du. Ane yeng taba pyu shuna ga. Taba ta me mer tang shuna ta du. Ta tende ki ge ane tenzu ta namji ta tenzu le karse ga. Ki chem chad ge ores. Somalo.
So as we talk about, you know, in the context of the Lamrim, 8 worldly concerns such as, you know, being very kind of excited or happy when someone talks pleasantly about me and being kind of upset and depressed when somebody, you know, says unpleasant things about me. Yeah? Or being very happy and excited when someone makes a gift to me and then really, you know, upset and depressed if somebody doesn't do that to me. And in that way, as people, we seem to attach so much importance to these things. You know, who's giving me the gifts, who's talking nice about me, who are talking bad about me. But from a spiritual point of view, as a spiritual practitioner, we are trying to develop a set of mindset, including equanimity, that we really don't attach importance to that. Okay? What people talk about us, or whether they make gift or they don't make gift, you know, we don't make differences and discriminate one against the other. I think one of the great realized practitioners, I recall the name, said, I mean, he kind of pictured the samsara as like a cremation ground, okay? And 8 worldly concerns like the zombies in the skeleton. He said, this is what I see. He said, in the prison of, you know, in the cremation ground of the samsara, I see all this, you know, zombies of 8 worldly concerns, you know, running around.
And, you know.
So the point I'm trying to make is we do not want to be one of those 8 zombies, you know, very busy in the cremation ground of samsara. I mean, we just want to crack down on the zombies, you know, overcome worldly concerns.
Oh, yeah. That is it. You say,
Maybe we'll do one more from Geshe Nyurungpa today, and he says we should kind of see or regard a bad friend or friends as just like a contagious disease.
That talk ngamba se the talk ngamba the zangbo se agresina ran la lam dipe le le pa chungkin tendi kene kene ji shong yin nai pe so su ta ga nyo yin an da khari na so su ne lam lokwal pa thingi de lam megi wi shol pa thingi de le tong ngamba chag yores.
So how should we understand what is called talk ngamba, you know, a bad friend, literally and simplistically, simply translating it. So a bad friend, another word term we use is a negative friend, as we said. And, you know, someone who encourages us to do something negative. Okay? Now, this bad friend can come from some very close people who are very close to us or who are strangers to us. It doesn't matter. So if somebody influences us or makes us to do something negative and takes us kind of further away from positive qualities and spirituality, then, you know, that person maybe is a negative friend.
That long run gonna come now, yours. Talking about this and pay cut down Chavazi Rungola Rago and Hitendi Maris. Socially pay Tibu Tanki, he will be touched. Dondo she ta kanji doya de kibu she ge ne so de le de migi wi le se ya le tin du du na ta te dik bil to gu sha de ge res ra na pen da chen ge de she ne pe yin chen ka re zum yin chen zum te ka ni hem bre she ka ni chen ge ne ya a te ne ra migi wi sho le te gi du na migi wi le te gi du na that the debate of Chagres, the debate of Singh, the Goladago, the Kadan Chavats, the Niki of Mariskanando.
In the Lamrim, talking about what we call negative friends, it is said, you know, there's some kind of a little bit of descriptive, you know, presentation about this. A negative friend is not somebody who will come in a very kind of scary looking, you know, thing. I got the fangs and I got the horns on my head and I got maybe tail or something. And it was, here I am. Okay. A negative friend can be very sneaky, you know, and has maybe a big smile on the face and got such a pleasant speech, you know, and but with underneath all the smile and the, you know, the sweet talking and all of those things and treating us in a nice way, if they influence us negatively, okay, this is what we are talking about. Okay, is a negative friend.
And
a negative friend does not have to come with a motivation and sort of a set of plan, you know. Oh, I want to trick this person and, you know, get him to do something negative. That may well happen, you know. But anybody who influences us negatively, you know, they may have a motivation to do that or may not have motivation to do that, you know. If that's what's happening, then we have to see that as a negative friend.
No, that ki ra se se, that de, jindu. That ki kyu ni, that de ya ga se re. Dro zangbo la se, khar zong zembe dukhi shepra sha us. Dro zangbo ki shubhe dala ane khar zong se zembe dere ta. Nama ina ta kare, zon se jan pe su su le dag dag na ba se ma se ya ke ni khar ti ni yor bol o ten de ge ta sem bu kha zon cha ma yin be te ya dag chan ma su ye ra na ba se ma se ya ke ta ten de ge ane zon de ta de sa ten de ke le ane ting du hi yang ris.
I think we can do one more from Geshe Nyurungpa, and which is actually nice, you know, we want to stop at a, you know, a nice place, you know, not with a negative friend. So that is the good friend, the positive friend, Tho Sangbo. So Geshe Nyungrumo tells us that a good friend is just like a fortress, right? In olden days, maybe even today, maybe today is like a museum site, we can go there. But in the fortress is built to protect, you know, oneself and one's friends or the community from being attacked by the enemies. You know, a fortress gives us a protection. So in a sense, the positive friends and the good friends are like a fortress.
Since I keep you, that rang to some put it on a bay to some put it down, give us for the TK. Medigi, Diva Megis for a rang the chin, pardon the tongue, give us for the Tinget and a dunk the Harita, since Zambutini.
So a good friend by definition is someone, you know, who influences us positively, you know, who encourages us to do positive things and who support us when we do positive things and so lead us into the positive direction. So when we follow that, it's just like, you know, we are grounding ourselves in a good situation. It's like creating a fortress. Right now we really feel stable because, you know, our positive friends are always protecting us, influencing us to stay on track, so to speak. So I guess he's basically trying to talk a little bit more about the example fortress, what it means, the Karzong in Tibetan. And so he remembers, like, you know, Gisela, if anybody didn't know, Gisela came from England. So he must have seen fortresses over there. Or in the, you know, during the Roman Empire's time. So those, like, you know, depending upon the fortress, how many levels of protection, protective walls you want to, you know, build up, right? So you have level 1, level 2, level 3. In between is the water, so that enemies cannot, you know, unless they want to drown themselves in the water, they cannot come and attack you, right? So in a sense, when we keep ourselves in the circle of positive friends, good friends, we are protected by them, you see. So it's just like, you know, we are living in a fortress that, you know, good friends, they always protect us, and we don't have to worry about doing something negative, you know, and they're not going to influence us negatively. If they do, then they are not good friends.
Okay.
We will stop there today, and I have some prayer request here, announcement too. Gisela will give refuge vows, special to new students and older students. If you want to restore your vows, you're welcome to do that next Sunday, August 31st, 9:30. So it's before the teaching. Our teaching starts at 10:30. So if you would like to, you know, take refuge vows, then you're welcome to do that next Sunday with Geshe-la at 9:30, and 10:30 we will have our regular teachings. And two prayer requests I have for people who have you know, left us are Wu Yu Chen and Peter Aquari. So they have passed away, and prayers are requested for them.
Yeah. Shadong Golo Jabotong, Jesu Baba Zumbu Sangitong, Kana Kandu Tilatin, Suba Jerizala Shatse, Lo, Omani Beme, 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 Time, 아니 저 이노 베체베 때마저 비든지 시베 담마는 죽고 개베 때마저 투지 이노도 메밀로 용한다 아니 최 동킹 쇼 보면은지 춘디 샤와나 인선도 줘봤다 아니 기딘지 캄데다 켄도 민트비 그 소자다 헤니 튼진로 소자다 메밀로 용
Let us dedicate our collective marriage for the flourishing of Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other holy masters, wherever they are, live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May these and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality.
Dona, magin singe tamchi, dini chingi wale toni, sanji kumbaro mbo jitobi jirchuji.
In short, we dedicate our marriage for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration, and may we all reach complete enlightened state quickly.
Shabbat